Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's good to be with you, as always. Thanks for those of you who've been with us this morning already. Thanks for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Our website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget there are a lot of different things you can do there. You can read articles. There are hundreds of those. There's about 1,000 archives of shows that we've done in the past by category, arranged by subcategory and major category, and by the Brain Trust member who was the guest on that show. Lots and lots of information there. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email, and you can link around and look at the Brain Trust members. There are about 400 members of our Brain Trust. Just a lot of different things that you can do there. So check that out when you get a chance. And we've got Governor Jim Gilmore with us, ladies and gentlemen. Governor Gilmore is the former governor of Virginia, who was in the office of the governor when the Pentagon was attacked, as you know, on September the 11th, which was in Virginia, part of his state. And he's a former Army counterintelligence agent. He chairs the Gilmore Commission at the RAND Corporation to assess America's terrorism response capability. And he's currently a partner of the Washington office of Kelly Dry and Warren, which is an attorney, which is a law office. And he chairs the Homeland Security Practice Group there. And he's also president of a group called USA Secure, which we'll get him to tell us about in just a little bit. Governor Gilmore, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Jim?
We're doing great. It's good to have you back on the show, Governor. And I know you've been doing some work lately. You continue to work with the issue of terrorism and weapons of mass destruction and that sort of thing. But I wanted to ask you today I wanted to talk about this issue of bioterrorism. I know that's been quite a bit up on your radar screen lately, hasn't it?
Well, it has. First of all, our commission, which, as you know, was formed at the beginning of 1999, has been the official congressional advisory panel on terrorism and weapons of mass destruction for all those years. It was intended to be a three-year statutory panel, but then after the third year, the attack occurred, and so the panel was extended two more years. So we're going to issue our fifth and final report this coming December the 15th, and then I presume go into business at that time. But we have issued the reports that have assessed the threat, that have recommended a national strategy, recommended a national office to create that strategy, pointed out the concerns about intelligence sharing and a variety of other areas that I think have been in the public comment and the public policymaking over the last several years. Of course, what I'm doing is taking that knowledge now and applying it into my law practice at Kelly Dry in Washington, D.C., and we've created a trade type of group where companies that want to do work in Homeland Security can come in and work together with us and with other companies that are their peers in order to influence policy, in order to make sure that we're moving ahead in the right direction in Homeland Security for the best interests of the public, and also to highlight opportunities to do business.
One of the things that I've said for a long time, Governor, is that you know, we're never going to change the minds of people who hate us, and you know, maybe we'll change the minds of their children, but the people who are there who hate America and who hate peace and who hate tolerance, and there are lots of them out there like that in a lot of different areas, not just in Islam, but in a lot of different fields and religions. And the thing is, we're not going to stop those people probably by political means, but we might be able to stop a lot of what they're trying to do through technology. And that's one of the things your organization is working on, isn't it?
Well, we may at that, and I think a lot of thought at this point has to go into what we're doing and where we are. Jim, you know, to be sure that military action had to be taken after the 9/11 attack in order to push the enemy outwards and prevent them from coming into this country and fighting us here. We do need a real long-term strategy, and that has to be, I think, carefully discussed in the public as to what direction we need to go and what successes we have to make. One thing we do have to be concerned about is the issue you raised a few minutes ago, and that is bioterrorism.
Mm-hmm.
and USA Secure, which is where I'm working with all these companies, are concerned about this potential threat of a bio attack here in the country. I mean, I've often said that it's the worst of all weapons of mass destruction, mm-hmm. if it's properly delivered against an enemy, because then the human being becomes the transfer, becomes the weapon itself, because they're transferring to communicable diseases. And it's very hard to circumscribe that. It's hard to put a police tape around that. And the danger can be very dramatic, as we have seen, for example, from the pandemic that occurred back in the early 1900s.
Exactly. Governor, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about what the government is doing about bioterrorism. Are we doing enough? Is there something that we should be doing? And also, what's Ramadan? You know, I don't know if you know about what Ramadan is. We're going to talk about that, too, and see if we have anything new to be concerned about over the next 30 days. Right after these messages, it's 20 Till. Stay with us.
County Fair in the country.
Back at 17 Chill, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we'll be having our FedWatch show with Bill Dunkelberg and Eleanor Solomon, two of our top economists in our brain trust. And we're going to be talking about what the Fed's going to do this week. Are they going to raise rates? Are they going to lower rates? Are they going to leave them like they are? How's the economy doing? We're going to talk to our two economists about that. And that's coming up in the show straight ahead. We're visiting with our good friend Jim Gilmore, Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia and now the director of a group called USA Secure, which is a trade group that focuses on homeland security technology. And is that a fair way to describe that, USA Secure?
It is a homeland security trade group of mm-hmm. companies that are concerned about homeland security, that want to do business in that area. This is a way of focusing their attention on the right opportunities and the right chances for partnership with other companies that want to provide those services to the United States government and to the states.
And that's USASecure.org. So check that out.
USASecure.org.
And, Governor, let's talk about this bioterrorism. Give us some examples of what bioterrorism is. When the anthrax letters went out, a couple of years ago, was that considered bioterrorism?
Yes, that is bioterrorism, because it's the delivery of an anthrax disease into a government facility, which, of course, not permanently disrupted that facility. And then, of course, there was also an attack into the Congress, and this was highly disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
But still, anthrax is a disease and a weapon where you have to actually come into contact with the substance and breathe the substance, and then you get sick and potentially dreadfully sick. The concern that I think that most policymakers have is that the enemy will find a way to weaponize a communicable disease.
A virus.
So, like smallpox.
Yes.
Which would be the worst of all. But they're not the only, that's not the only potential danger. You could also have the danger of plague or some of the other communicable diseases, Ebola virus and so on like that. So we have to be concerned about that, because what you don't want to have is a person who catches that disease. It takes a few days for the gestation period, and meanwhile they've moved on to Seattle, Washington, or something of that nature.
Right.
The next thing you know, you have an explosion of disease. There are methods in place, standard methods in place in the public health system to address this, but it's harder. It's harder to do than say, a conventional explosive, and we haven't seen any of that in the United States, and we just want to make sure that an enemy doesn't decide to hit us with a true weapon of mass destruction.
What can you tell us that the United States is doing, that the Homeland Security Department is doing to prevent this from happening?
Well, our commission several years ago, before any of this was going on, recommended that there be a national laboratory and a national stockpile of vaccines. There has been a stockpile of vaccines, but it's very difficult to project what the enemy might use.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there was an effort raised to do some inoculations against smallpox. Now, the truth is that there's not evidence out there, firm evidence, that smallpox even exists outside of the specialized laboratories of the United States and the former Soviet Union. But you have to be cautious and begin to put systems in place. And one place we're focused on, Jim, is that if the unthinkable does occur and the enemy gets its hands on a communicable disease and delivers it into this country, are we prepared as a hospital community to deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are we prepared to bring in the proper number of trained people who can then care for people and make sure that they don't get back out in the community to infect others?
Well, also,
are we
just
prepared
to diagnose,
for surge capacity?
Just to diagnose some of these things. I mean, some of these things are so are so much a part of our past and not our current situation in America that there are a lot of medical professionals that if they saw it and they thought that's what it was, they probably would say, nah, that couldn't be.
Well, we absolutely need a federal, state, local partnership, and together also with private health care organizations to be prepared for this. You don't have to disrupt everything that you're doing, but you do have to have planning on the books so that you can be prepared to deal with the surge capacity. And that means that your local hospital out there and your listening audience, they're prepared to deal with a certain number of sick people. But what happens if that multiplies by 100 because of a communicable disease attack? Mm-hmm. Where are the people going to go? And then what happens when the people in the community become frightened because they think some normal flu that occurs in the community now is that disease? So they're going to run to the hospital. And we call those the worried well.
Right.
And, you know, this is a real issue. And I think the systems can be put into place, but planning has to be thought about, and proper people have got to be recruited on standby, and proper vaccines and training on how to deal with those vaccines has to be prepared.
Some of the political issues that are out there right now, Governor Gilmore, are throwing rocks at, or should say rocks and sticks and stones and darts and everything else at the administration, saying that the administration is not doing enough to protect us from this type of a threat. What do you say to that, to people
well,
like Joe Lieberman?
I'll say this. I think the president has analyzed correctly the fact that you have to disrupt the enemy overseas. If you just simply leave them to their own devices and their own quietness to prepare without any type of opposition, then sooner or later they're going to get over here into this homeland. So I think that it's a legitimate thing to push the war outwards so that we're not having to fight them in the streets of Des Moines or mm-hmm. Richmond, and I think that the challenge here is to recognize that that's what's going on. I then on the homeland, you have to make infinite and exquisite preparations so that if the attack occurs, we're able to respond quickly and contain the problem. And then we have to just reassure the people of the United States that we are in fact ready to do that so they can get on about their normal everyday lives. And then we can have some degree of a return to normalcy. And those are the ideas that I think that I have right now. I do think that people who are attacking the president, frankly, Jim, I think they have a right to engage in public discourse about foreign policy or domestic policy, but they have an obligation to offer some alternatives.
Jim, Governor Gilmore, hold on to that thought, Governor. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to let the Governor talk some more about that because I'm very much interested in that, and we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Whatever comes our way.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, Governor Jim Gilmore, who is the president of USA Secure. That's usasecure.org. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to check that out if you want to find out about what that organization is doing to bring companies together to serve Homeland Security and work with those organizations. Also, a couple of dates, Governor. On November 17th and 18th, is that going to be the last meeting of the Gilmore Commission?
We had our third meeting several weeks ago in Sacramento, California. And then we'll have our last meeting now in November in Washington, D.C., and that will be the fourth quarterly meeting of this year. We'll issue our final report on December the 15th, and that will be the fifth report. And these reports have been very thorough, and they've been around for a long time. We started, as I said, in 1999. And if your listeners want to look at these things, just go onto the webpage, RAND Corporation, rand.org. And when the search vehicle comes up, because rand.org does a lot of stuff, when the search vehicle comes up, just putting Gilmore Commission into the search vehicle, and you can look at all the reports over all the years. These reports are being used by the Congress and the administration as sort of a benchmark and a guidepost to help think about what the right issues are for the foreign policy, for the domestic policy and homeland security. And we're very proud of the work that the commission's done.
Well, I'm very proud of what you've done,
too. This isn't just a Gilmore thing. The commission members are drawn from all over the country, from people from police, fire, rescue, health care, emergency services, And we've run this commission in such a way to make sure that no voice is stronger than any other. Prominent people have been on this commission. Paul Bremer, who's now in Iraq, mm-hmm. was on the commission. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's been very successful and prominent over the years.
Governor, and again, I want to say that I'm very proud of you for what you've done as the leader of this group and for what your organization has meant to the United States. And I want to thank you for your service. Also, on November the 14th, on Friday, you've got a symposium on bioterrorism, I believe. Aren't you going to be having that at the Heritage Foundation?
Yes, indeed. But this is a different matter. Now, this is the private work that I'm doing at Kelly Drive, where we formed USA Secure so that we can work on individual homeland security issues with private companies. This symposium will be in Washington, D.C. at the Heritage Foundation on November the 14th. It's being led by a conglomerate of companies led by a CSC Corporation, a Computer Sciences Corporation. And we're focusing on the issue of how you address the issue of bioterrorism and surge capacity in this country. So that's a private organization that's coming together, but we hope to offer some policy, which then the people in the government will see as another choice and another piece of work that they can rely on.
Well, we work very closely with the Heritage Foundation ourselves here, and I know those guys over there, and they do good work. And so I'm glad that you're working with them. And folks, you know the Heritage Foundation website. You've heard me give it many times on the show, heritage.org. You can check that out, too. Governor, let's wrap up. As we wrap up the hour, we've got a couple of minutes left. How do we reconcile? You mentioned a minute ago that politicians have got a right to having public and open discourse on how this nation is behaving with regard to terrorism and with regard to our national security. But how do we reconcile the politics and the national security? You know, sometimes it gets a little bit, we go overboard with our politics, and sometimes politics takes the front seat to the national security. How do we reconcile all that?
Well, there certainly is a tension between the goal of bringing the country together behind a national policy that will protect this generation and future generations, and the ability to have public discussion about these issues, which is part of our political process. And I just would urge the listeners to focus on who is offering the best vision and who's offering the best approach. And it doesn't do any good just to come in and complain. If the opponents of the president are going to come in and complain, they have a duty to offer a true vision as to where they want to take the country. And if they can't articulate that in any sound way, then you got to go with the guy who's out there really fighting for us. And that's
so far, I've heard mostly the guy's not doing a good job. President Bush is not doing his job, and we should be coming home. We shouldn't be in Iraq. I'm hearing more of that than I am solutions. Alternatives.
Well, that's not a solution because. Yeah. To cut and run at this point would I think be a long-term catastrophe. So we have to have a better idea than that, and I haven't heard it so far. I think we're moving ahead in the right direction, but that's part of this public policy discussion that we're going to be having.
Absolutely, and we're going to have to, as consumers of all that information, we're going to have to sort through that and then ultimately make our decision at the polls a year from now. Governor
Gilmore,
thank you.
I appreciate you being a part of it. You're obviously drawing your listeners into this discussion, and I think that's a healthy thing to do, and you're doing it, I think, in a more balanced way than we've heard sometimes from other people.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Governor Gilmore, thank you for being here. Good job today. We're looking forward to talking to you again, and again, congratulations on your service to our country.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Thank you. Governor Jim Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'll see you later. I'm Jim Blasting.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.